Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. Hesitate in the presence of my adversaries. Negotiate at the table of my enemy or ponder at the pool of popularity. I won't give up, set up, let up until I've stayed up, thought up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. Good to have you with us tonight. Wherever you're streaming from around the world, welcome, 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 welcome.
Welcome, everyone.
We have We have a great God.
Amen.
And got a lot of great power. Oh, He's got all the power. Dumb thing to say. Tonight we're going to be talking about the power of God. So, I want you to join with us. Enjoy this study. We're going to be studying entering in and taking the presence of God to people that need it. So, join with us. You never know when you'll be on the team that God says, you, go there, help those people.
Amen.
We are that team.
We are that team. And we pray that today, evening, Facebook.
Are you live?
Yep.
There we are.
Looks like we're about to get some serious weather here.
Mm-hmm.
We bind destructive weather in the name of Jesus. We see the rain. Rain come now. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Phyllis, hello.
Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus.
How's everything with our baby, Everly? Is she home yet?
Well, here we go, guys. Welcome, welcome. Good to have you with us. Sister Phyllis K. Welcome. I guess we're fixing to get some weather, looks like.
Yay. We're ready. Ready for some weather with lots of rain in it.
All right. Looks like that's got that done. Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us here tonight. Keep looking over my shoulder like somebody's standing over there. What's
there
going on over there?
Welcome, angels.
Hope there's all angels are welcome here.
Amen. All good angels, no fallen ones.
We're going to have a good study tonight of the Word of God. We're going to have a good study. We're going to study Paul, taking the Word of God to the regions and the cities where God would have him go. And interesting study of how the kingdom works, because the plan that he alters for nobody. It doesn't matter who you are. Becca Chapman. Evening, ma'am. How is that? It was for supper, so.
I know, she always has good stuff, doesn't she?
I don't know why I didn't ask Phyllis. What's for supper, Phyllis? Oh, that's right. Phyllis told us that her daughter cooks. She did her years of, and now it's somebody else's time.
That's right. It's still fun to hear what they had.
It's still fun to hear what you had. Here at the Cottle residence, we had the most amazing homemade pizza that was made in the Little Caesars Pizza home. The Little Caesars Pizza home. And so, that was delicious. We call it cheese in the crust. I don't know what they call it, but it's good. It's good. I don't know why every pizza isn't like that.
I agree.
Those that don't like cheese in their crust are weird. They're almost as weird as the people that don't eat pineapple on their pizza.
I was waiting for that.
So hopefully you had a great day. You had heat if you needed it. You had water if you needed it. Blessing of the Lord if you needed burgers and fries with birthday cake for Katie. Well, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Katie. Happy birthday, dear Katie. Happy birthday to you, and many more, and many more. All right. Not everybody gets to be sung like that, Katie, but a lot of people do. Roger Oxy, welcome, Becca. Raymond, Everly will probably be in the hospital for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah,
wow. Dude, what? Thank you, and big hugs to you, too. Katie? If I had a popper, I'd pop it for you, but Sister Luann already shot all the poppers at me when we had our birthday party here, so... all the poppers are gone. Wilma Tony, welcome. Dan Cottle, welcome. Tisha Jones. Popping on real quick to let you know the surgery set for this Friday has been rescheduled for July the 2nd. I'm not happy. It messes up the holiday, but that's the only date they had before my birthday. Well, in the name of Jesus, may every cell, every tissue, every joint in your body be healed.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. You know, we don't just say these words because that's what we say. When people say they need healing, we believe them.
Yes.
We speak them into the realm of the spirit so people can be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. And we speak that over you, Sister Tisha, that you're healed in your body. Same thing with Brother Julian. We say all of the cells and the tissues of your body function together properly. Right here, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. And, you know, I heard a really powerful message on prayer. It's a really deep, deep revelation on prayer. And the man didn't preach it to be deep. He just preached it, and it was deep. You ever notice that?
Mm-hmm.
When people try to preach something to be deep, that it just is all heady and high-minded. But if you just let the Holy Spirit lead you, he'll take you into the depths of the kingdom way beyond anything you can imagine. And so, you know, Thank God that he didn't just assign us prayer just to take up our time, just to check a box, just to talk to him because he is weird, he's some weird being in the sky that demands we ask. No. He asks us to pray. Did you ever hear God ask as you anything? He asks us to pray, thy will be done, so that his will is done in all actuality. And so, thank you for being a part. So, Sister Tisha, Sister Everly, is that her name? Everly? Sister Everly, Father, in Jesus' name. No, I don't want any of my huge words in the way, Jesus. These people have met me, and I know you, and I am anointed to be like you and to do exactly what you do. To do exactly. And so here I am right now tonight, Father, and I'm speaking over Sister Tisha. I'm speaking over Brother Julian, Sister Babana. I'm speaking over little Everly. We're speaking over anybody else that's in the throes of a physical battle inside their body. We declare life and health and strength and perfect soundness in their flesh.
Amen.
Right now, in the name of Jesus. Jesus, you came to give life, and you did. You sent us out to give life, and we do. And we do. And we do. So now, we thoroughly expect for that immediate healing to come to us. I speak to your bodies, life and health and strength right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. All right. He's on the way. YouTube is up and running. You ready? Well, welcome everybody. Good to have you with us tonight. We're going to study the Apostle Paul running around Asia. How does that do? Literally, like running around on his feet. And it's going to be a great lesson tonight. Sister Mary, Pastor Rick, what'd you have for supper? And we didn't get supper at the Wilma Tony residence either. Sister Phyllis said she had jambalaya. Yeah. I need to get to Sister Phyllis's house and try real jambalaya. Because I've had it all over, well, here and there, but never had it down there. And those are the folks that invented it. Know what it's all about. All right, well, here we go. Beans and cornbread. That's some eating right there, man. That's some good eating right there. Mm-hmm. I like it. Beans and cornbread.
Yeah.
And I lived 8 years in Kentucky, so cornbread was a part of a whole lot of stuff. I don't know why it's cornbread country, but it sure is. Fried potatoes, corned beef hash, fresh asparagus.
Wow.
How many are going to Mary's house for supper tonight? Hallelujah. Woo! Pretty good supper Mary had. Everybody, Mary lives on 223 7th Street in the little city of Michigan, and you can stop by, and she's got some food for you. Look at that supper she cooked right there now. Fried potatoes, corned beef hash, fresh asparagus. You know, I said we was going to start a minute ago, but let's take 5 more minutes and talk about food. Isn't it amazing that God gives you asparagus to eat early in the growing season?
Oh,
it is. The
garden's ready.
I mean,
yeah.
Asparagus just grows. There it is. You know, it's like, hey, how you guys doing? That's asparagus, you know? Yeah, that's right. That's right, Becca. I am on my way for that country cooking. All right. So what we're going to have is a big COF party. And everybody's going to come from all over the nation. And every night, a different person gets to cook a supper.
Oh.
And it'll be the Feast of the Tabernacle. And we'll feast for 7 nights before we enter into the Tabernacle of Meeting. Hallelujah.
Wow.
So anyways.
And it'll be on 24-7 for after the Tabernacle opens.
I just love food. But, you know, I had that thought. Isn't it something that God made asparagus grow early?
It is, and I hadn't thought of that.
Really? Now, wait. And rhubarb. And then strawberries.
Yeah.
All in the early growing season. And if you're quick enough, you get the radishes in, and they're up and growing. Now, I don't know what's wrong with potatoes, why them boys take so long. Let them stay. It's worth the time. It's like the old commercial. Anticipation.
We have so many early vegetables that, you know, they're just your later ones. So
what are the rest of the early vegetables?
Onions and squash and beets. And, of course, the beets are kind of later, too, aren't they?
And so are the squash. Don't forget the dandelion. First,
well,
dandelion greens. It's true. They are first.
Yeah, they are.
If you've not had them, they're really good. Strawberry shortcake with Shannon Tony biscuit.
Woo!
I didn't know Shannon Tony had her own line of biscuits. All right, now it is 7:28. We're 2 minutes early for started.
Okay, so there's summer squash and zucchini that are earlier, and then there's fall squash or butternuts and acorns and all of those that are later. And those actually stay on until after the first frost, they say.
Gotcha. God's got an amazing system if we just get involved, doesn't he?
He does.
And then somewhere in there we have Julian and Vimala that are growing their mangoes and bananas.
Oh,
right, listen, right in their own garden. Yeah. Yeah. It would have to be a big garden for enough bananas for me. How about you guys? I like my bananas. And mangoes, too. I like them mangoes. But maybe that's not the right climate here.
Probably not. I wonder if you grow one in the living room.
Where my mom lives in Tennessee, there's a whole bunch of people with banana trees.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they produce bananas, but they sure are a beautiful tree. big old leafy thing. Mm-hmm. It is now 1 minute until time to start.
You could probably start a minute early because you always run over
it. And it's a little late, so let's be all right.
It'd be all right.
Didn't I tell you it'd be all right? I told you it would be all right. Well, here we go. Let's rise together. We'll honor the flag. We will pray for our veterans, and then pray for the United States of America. Here we go. Friend of your honor, let's make our Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to
the
flag,
of
the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now, we will have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who paid the last full measure of devotion, those who today may have scars in their battle, in their body from the battle, their soul and their spirit, and those who served alongside of them. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. Now, if you will, join me singing, God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the ocean, white with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
All
right. Let's pray for the United States of America. God and Father of every one of us brave warriors down through American history to this day. For each of these brave warriors that's here tonight, standing in faith with us, thank you. Thank you that the same God worked for the pilgrims when the disease was rampant inside Plymouth Rock. The same God is working right here, right now, today. We thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, that the same God, that you are the same God that helped the founders of our Constitution, the ones that put the Declaration of Independence. Thank you that you are with us today. Thank you that the same Holy Spirit that was at creation hovering over the waters, and the same Spirit of God that will be in the throne in heaven, lives inside of us right here, right now today. We thank you for that. As we pray this prayer, we declare, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. We declare, as you, Jesus, that the kingdom of of heaven come to this earth right here, right now, today, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Our Lord, we add our faith right now tonight to the faith of every great prayer team there is around the world that is praying these same prayers, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth. We thank you for the United States of America. Thank you for our heritage as a nation. Thank you that it has always been based in liberty and justice for all. We, this generation, 2021, declare thy will be done on this earth in these United States of America as it is in heaven, liberty and justice for all. God of vengeance, pour out your vengeance and your wrath on the wicked who refuse to turn from their evil ways, and they pervert the ways of this great nation. Pour out your wrath upon them, we pray. We don't want anybody to miss heaven, Lord. We don't want anyone to miss heaven. 65 million babies. It's 65 million too many babies killed by abortion. There ain't one of them that was your will. There ain't one of them that was your doing. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we confront this vile atrocity. Yes. And we declare, bow your knee to the name of Jesus, to the prayers of the saints, to the ecclesia, the body of Christ, God's governing body of authority here on this earth, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we declare, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. No more innocent bloodshed. You foul abomination people, take your hands off our children. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. You gave us these 5 points. You said how good and pleasant it is for the brothers to dwell together in unity. We stand here right now, together, united, saying no more wicked violence in this great nation. No more. And I, Lord, I know, I realize, I know your way. I see it. It's all through the Bible. If we do not stay together as a body, your will cannot be done, because a house divided against itself cannot stand. Continue right now. By our words right now, we hook into that great circling force of prayer around this world. We hook into it right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you for the faith that's in it. We can feel the faith. We draw the faith. We take our faith that says move, mountain, move. And we add it there. May every fivefold ministry gift around this nation and around the world that is connected to this prayer network around the world, may they stand in faith and everything about their ministry move to the work of the book of Acts immediately. And the freedom and the liberty and the justice of the kingdom of God come in their area, their city, their region, their state, their nation, their village, wherever they may be, in the mighty name of Jesus. You said how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And you told us, Father, that all the branches of the government would function together. Isaiah chapter 33, you said, it says, you are our lawgiver. You are our judge. And you are our king. You are. Lord, We know in our own human ability, there's nothing we can do. We know when we speak your word that it causes the kingdom to come to pass. And your will comes to this earth. And we thank you for that, Father. We declare all of the branches of government function together properly. And anything that is being done outside of the parameters of our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our life here in America, we declare every one of those meetings fall by the wayside tonight, and they are interrupted by the angels of Almighty God with confusion. Their house, divided against them, will not stand. And we thank you for it, Lord. We speak right now over every politician. Guys, there's a reason we pray this prayer, the same thing every night. Because tonight, the evil of this world knows the power of words, and they flood the TV waves with wicked, lying words. And we must stand up by our words, every good politician. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless the good ones to stay good. And not only stay good, but be bold and be strong and be courageous and be valiant in battle in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you have promised us. You did. You had promised us that we could stand bold and stand strong, and that we would be delivered from foolish and ignorant men, because not all men have faith. Lord, in the name of Jesus tonight, deliver us from foolish and ignorant men.
Yeah.
In every aspect. Can you say it with me? Deliver all of our good politicians.
Deliver all of our good politicians.
From foolish and ignorant men. Every one of them, Lord. All through history, there's been good men and women. And they sit in those halls of Congress, Father, and they look Abraham and Moses right in the face because they're in the hall. And they do this wickedness. We say no more. No more. In the name of Jesus. Well, thank you that you are keeping our Constitution strong and solid, more than what we are. And we give you the honor. And we give you the glory. And we give you the praise for that. Thank you that you never sleep. And you never slumber. Thank you that he who watches Israel is watching the United States of America. Thank you that we have come to an innumerable host of angels. They're working right now in the United States of America. All over. Father, we pray now for the peacemakers, wherever it may be, all over this world. Peacemakers, be filled with strength. Be filled with wisdom. Be filled with might. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We give you glory. Bless the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the Coast Guard, our Secret Service, the police, the fire, the rescue. Right now, we, the people of God, we bind the violence that keeps trying to break out in these cities.
Yes.
And we declare it again. No, you don't get to do that. Anarchy, you're bound. And your ranks are destroyed by confusion of the angels of Almighty God. Your texts don't go through. Your emails are scrambled. All your garbage that you're trying to put on this nation, it falls apart and we stand there bewildered and absolutely frustrated. I've got my eyes closed. I declare this in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you're doing your work. Now, we're going to pray the prayer, the declaration we make to fight the isms. Socialism, communism, feminism, modernism, liberalism. They're all a bunch of isms. Anarchy, racism. They all come from nations that say we need no God. Every one of those are about, we are us, we need no God. And thank God that you and I know we need God. Say it, I know I need God. I do. We'll let this technology catch up. You ready? Everybody say technology work now.
Technology work now.
Wait, maybe I say it with a little Dr. Pepper, it'll help. Technology work now. Here we go. We bind all the effects of the isms. It is impossible for your wickedness to overcome the United States of America's righteousness, strength. God said, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. You have no right or claim or historic authority to our promised land. We know who we are. We will not yield our weapons of protection. You may think we have been up, but we, the children of God, return to our God and have come together in agreement to rebuild every wall that seems to be torn down in the realm of the spirit and in the natural. And we declare that every weapon you have formed against freedom comes back on you now. And every pit you have dug, you fall into it yourself immediately. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen.
Our
enemies will not invade our land, and there will be no breach in our walls. These are the walls we are building, the walls of righteousness. Now, Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for, and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain,
and that
this nation under God
is
experiencing a new birth of freedom
right here, right
now, today. And this government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright, freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great money. Great God, our King, forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I want to say this. We might end up opening the window and the gates so we can hear a thunderstorm. Because I love a good thunderstorm. I rebuke violent weather that destroys and kills. Good thunderstorms are good. They add, they get the electrical bolts, add, what is it, adds?
Nitrogen
into the air. That's good for the ground. God had his own way of fertilizing the ground, making it grow. And I recommend everybody, when the storm comes, you don't hug trees during the lightning storm. Now, you might be a tree hugger all the rest of the days of your life, but don't be a tree hugger in a lightning storm, because you might be a tree hugger that no longer exists. I'll never forget. I'm coming back to the isms in a minute, but I'll never forget my house in West Branch had a bunch of men of the church. And one of those afternoon, evening, thunder, boomer, lightning, storm, rain comes floating through Michigan, West Branch. Right? And the one guy said three times, I got to go. And the rain's just starting. All right? And he's like, oh, man, I have not checked my oil, and I've been after it all day long. He goes out, and he puts the hood up, puts the thing up, pulls the dipstick out, and lightning strikes the tree in the guy's yard next to me. I mean, it blew bark and everything, all right? And he's parked along the curb long ways like this. And so the hood is right by the sidewalk that comes in the front door. That dude jumped straight up and flew clear to the house. Open the door in there, man. Boom, that lightning hit.
That was the moment that you wish you could have gotten that
now,
video.
Now, that's one of the fun things I do on the internet is watch lightning strikes and people running from them. Now, what's that have to do with the isms? Absolutely not. That's just a fond memory I had. It literally blew the bark off that tree, and it split it all from the top clear to the bottom.
Wow. So he had to have felt the ground shake, too. This little
dipstick
in the air, oh my goodness.
It's so funny. You never see one guy elevate and move sideways 20 feet in one move. It's just like, how do you do that? Anyways, I hope you enjoyed my story as much as I did, because to me, it was really funny. Now, Mary asked, what's the fivefold ministry? Some type in under Mary's comment. Somebody type in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. All right, because that's the answer to that. And we'll get back there to it. But I want to talk about the isms for a minute. Because there's some people be like, well, Jesus was a socialist. No. Socialism and communism and Marxism, all those isms of them, those wicked communistic everybody in the system come together and help everybody, and we all grow up together. All of that is a godless system saying we don't need God. It doesn't matter which one of them you call on, that's what it says. And it says there's a group of people that are wise enough and intelligent enough to tell all of us what it is we get to have. Well, that is not God. It never was God. It never will be God. God said, I'm going to take away from him who does not have, him who does not do with what he has, give it to him that's doing what he has. That is God's system.
Amen.
All right?
Yeah.
I don't know whether it strikes the same spot twice or not, but I sure ain't going to be checking it out to find out. Wait.
I have heard
wait.
That before. I don't know if it's true.
It might not be the same spot, but who was the golfer? The one golfer had been hit by lightning three times?
Yeah.
So it might not hit the same spot. It might hit the same umbrella. And you know what he said, don't you? He wants to play through, you let him.
Yeah. I have heard that before. It seems like I've heard people say, too, well, that old barn's been hit five times by lightning. So,
well, but wait. when you put a lightning rod on top of a building, that one's probably going to get hit more than once. You put a lightning rod out there, and if that's the tallest thing in the open field, you're going to draw the lightning in. Now, why you would put a lightning rod on a barn, I don't know.
Yeah. Who put some lightning rod in?
Anyways, now, back to the isms. So let's talk about feminism for a minute. We got 5 minutes. Feminism is a messed up deal. Five times in five different spots? Holy Toledo.
Wow.
Woo! No, after one time, there would not be a second opportunity. With me. No. I don't need that tingly feeling that bad.
Little jolt in your life.
No. The whole process that they try to sell us to is oh my goodness.
Oh geez.
Wow. Wow. Mary, we're not being disrespectful for those who actually have died from lightning strikes. And Lord, I bind that trauma in Mary's life right now.
Amen.
I bind that trauma in any of the family that's still here with us today to know about it. We declare that inside their life and their spirit, the traumatic event of that releases its power and its grip on them. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, why are you saying this about feminism? Well, there ain't a one of us in America, truly, that has a problem with a woman having a job. Why would you have a problem with a woman having a job? These wicked people that come from other nations are the ones that sell that as if it's actually happening. The American spirit is, if you're the right person for the job, you're going to get paid for it. Well, I was the right person and I didn't get paid. Well, maybe you had a bad attitude, because you still have one when you make that statement. And I've never been around it. I've never been in a situation yet where if a woman was doing a good job and was producing, why she didn't get like a man that got paid. I don't get it. But if you go to the unions, run by the wicked people. They'll sell that stuff to you. America's not a racist nation.
Right.
They sell it to people that will listen and bite it and take the bait and then make a mess. And they do it for political advantage. We don't have anarchy in America. No. No. They sold socialism, and this generation of kids said, bull, and now we're going to revolt. Oh, wait, that's not anarchy. That's saying, you bunch of lying thieves, get out of our schools, get out of our places, and we're not going to ever believe what you teach us again. But anarchy just kill everything, destroy everything, and they went and built these little things, and these things, that's just stupidity. That's not who we are. So all of these isms come. And they come from nations that are godless, that have declared there is no God in our nation. Well, according to the word of God, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So don't listen to a fool who has said there is no God. Don't espouse any of his doctrines, because God called him a fool. Sister Leanne, what did you feed him on that pizza?
Hot peppers,
Tabasco sauce, ghost peppers, jalapenos. They were all stacked. There was that many peppers on top of my pizza. No, nobody fed me nothing. But here's the reality of it. If you listen to the noise on 90% of the media, they are all parroting the same thing. Somebody's putting out a manual. Somebody's putting out a script because they're all saying the same thing. But because there's no good news to report? No. No. The news media has been bought out. But we came here to study God. We did come to study God. But the church has been told, sit down and shut up. You shouldn't talk about this stuff. No, it's because we're the ones that have righteousness, which is what is the foundation of this nation. And if we be quiet, they're the only voice that's heard. That's why they are trying to silence our voices.
Yeah.
Felicia said what?
I'm looking for the statement she made about evil prospers when good men do nothing.
Evil prospers when good men do nothing. Amen. Amen. That's a good statement. So, all through history, God has promoted women when it came time for them to be promoted. Who promoted them? God promoted them. God did it. I will not teach this all night. This is not where we're going tonight.
We're hung up for the moment.
This is not where we're going tonight. But let me show you the principle in God's word. I feel like I got a light out tonight. So, do I?
You look all bright and shiny. I think it's just because it's so dark outside. Right? Because
it's cloudy dark? Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Did it ever rain? Come on. Don't give us a bunch of thunder and lightning with no rain. Genesis chapter 4. Let's just read it real quick. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. And we're going down to verse 15. And said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Hallelujah. Then she bore again this time his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. Is there anything wrong with sheep or ground? Both of them are good businesses. Both of them are very important parts of society. There's nothing wrong with either of them. Verse number 3. In the process of time came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Now, I want you to get this. Somewhere, Cain and Abel learned to create an offering. That's why I tell you and I teach you that tithe started in the garden. God didn't say don't touch tree. He said don't eat it. Why? Because they were supposed to take the fruit and offer it as a tithe, as worship. Cain and Abel have been taught offerings right here, because we're reading it. Verse number 4. Abel brought of the firstborn of the flock their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. What are we seeing right here in the 4th chapter after the fall? This is right after the fall. Abel understands blood sacrifice is the only thing that's going to work for the atonement of sin. Somebody had to teach Abel that. God taught it to Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve taught it to their kids. So you can see the offering is way before the curse, or way before the fall, Jesus. Way before the covenant with Abraham and the law with Moses. It's at the beginning. Now watch. Verse 5, he did not respect Cain and his offering. Why? Because the offering was supposed to be blood. So Cain should have taken some of his stuff, gone to Abel and said, I need this, got him a lamb, and brought it there. Or if you're just a good brother, you just tell him, take a lamb. You need one. I don't want you to go to hell. We didn't know there was a hell. Well, learn now. Anyways, Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. So the Lord said, why are you so angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, so that it should rule. Oh, no. Its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. This is right out of the garden. God is saying to man, you should rule over sin. All the way to the New Testament, and you hear God say to the Apostle Paul, sin will not have been over you. You should rule over it. Good preaching, pastor. Woo! Excuse me just a minute. Amen, brother pastor. We love it. 5. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And that came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. He killed his brother over an offering. But what I want you to see is that statement, verse 6. Why are you so angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Its desire is for you, but you should rule over. Now, in the Old Testament, they just had sacrifices. And that's, their sin was not removed or deleted. What's the word I'm looking for?
Purged.
Their sin was not purged like our sins are. Their sins was just covered. All right? Now, this is what I want you to see. It's what all the isms are. If you do well, God will bless you. No matter whether you're male or female, black, white, yellow, red, or green. If you do well, the Father will bless you. Abraham was a moon worshiper, and God walked before me and be thou perfect, and God blessed him. Right? Paul's a murderer in the name of God, but he submitted to him and God blessed him. What is God's way? If you do well, you will be blessed. Nobody can stop you from promotion anywhere unless you let them stop you in your heart. Wow, don't you know what someone said? Well, no. No. I know who God is. What you just did, but don't you know about so-and-so, is you put them bigger than God. And you're making God submit underneath them. I don't recommend that. Because he doesn't like to submit to too many people. It's pretty good right there, isn't it?
It is. It is good.
It's a violation of his system. The foundation of his throne is justice and mercy. And justice must be justice for every person. The church doctrine that teaches God shows favoritism is one of the most wicked, lying doctrines there is in the kingdom. And you know what? You know who sold it to the kingdom? The spirit of religion.
Yeah.
Because the closer a lie is to the truth, the more damning the lie is, and the more destructive it is in the kingdom of God. And it's a doctrine that is taught all over the kingdom. That's not a bad question.
No, that's a good.
That's a very good question.
A lot of people have been taught that.
You see, the very foundation of his throne is justice and righteousness. You cannot have favoritism if you're just and righteous. It doesn't work. Why do the good die young? Jesus, help me. Well, the good die young and the bad die young. And the reason why anybody dies young is because of the curse of sin that came in this world through Adam. When you get to the New Testament and you see Jesus, who is God's son, God's example of everything on this earth, everything that's in heaven, Jesus' principle that he teaches from heaven is this: thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus raised people from the dead. Those good did not die young. They were raised from the dead. Jesus came teaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing the sick, setting the blind free, freely have received, freely give, healing the brokenhearted, preaching the good news, the gospel to the poor. That's what he did. But that curse, when Adam sinned, that curse filled this whole earth. And if you don't get out from underneath that curse, then you're going to be bound by the curse. And people die. It's not his will. His will, he's not willing that any should perish. His will is, with Psalm 91:16, with long life have I satisfied you and will show you my salvation. That is his will. The rest of it is where sin is, and no man brings righteousness to that situation. Now, what's going to go on is the unrighteousness is going to have its way, and it's going to destroy people's lives. Yeah. It's the message that we taught last night about James and Peter. It was not God's will for James to be beheaded by Herod. That was not God's will. God's will was that James lived to be an old man. God's will is that Peter lived to be an old man. The Apostle John lived to be 95 years old. I don't believe Stephen should have died when he did.
Oh, no.
I've heard many men preach, if he could have just shut his mouth a little bit. Everybody listen.
Really?
Wait, listen. He made them so angry, they gnashed on him with their teeth. That means that people were chewing on that man's skin.
Biting
him? All right. Acts chapter 7. Don't you love seeing? We're getting ready to go to our scriptures here. Ready? Verse 54. Now, when they heard these things, Acts 7:54, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus stand at the right hand of God. Why? When you study last night's message, everybody study last night's message, because in last night's message, we dealt with these questions very specifically. Because Herod took James and beheaded him. That is not the will of God. The foundation of God's throne is justice and righteousness. It is not just for a wicked leader to take the head of the righteous. That is not justice. Ready? I know. Jesus said, some of you will die a martyr. I understand those verses. Jesus didn't say, all of you go die a martyr.
Or that's what's right for you.
No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. Why would God send Peter, an angel, and get him out of the church, or out of the prison? You see, if God doesn't have a system that everybody can trust, then what are you serving? You won't know. He's up in heaven with a club. And, you know, roll the dice, baby, see what you get. Is you going to get clubbed then, or are you not going to get clubbed? No, that's not who he is. The foundation of God's throne is justice for everyone. That means the wicked are ready to receive God's absolute justice and judgment. And literally, the scripture calls it woe, which means all of God's horrible wrath is poured out on the wicked. All right? And then righteousness, which is the absolute perfection of what Jesus did, having lived for 33 and a half years out sin on this earth. That is the very foundation of the throne of God. And those two things are given to us when we receive Jesus. Yeah, well, right. And see, that's the statement. If your son died at 33, it's because an enemy got there. It's because some form of the curse got there. Does it make us angry? Yeah. That's why every one of these sessions are so important. Because last week I told you the story in my own life of the man I pastored for 20 years. And tried to get to this man and get him born again. And then he got in the truck, and the truck flips over in the ditch and kills him. That's a violation of every prayer I ever prayed. But it's not because God says, well, I guess that his time's up. Angels tip that truck over and kill him. No, that is not God. And when people say, well, God needed another angel in heaven, there is no greater lie spoken in a funeral home than that one. God don't need another angel in heaven because now God is the killer. He is not the killer. Well, you guys got me going, and I got to go another whole way tonight besides this. This is one of those subjects that just really... Really, 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 really. Romans chapter 1. Everybody turn there. Oh, yeah, I'm sure he went to heaven. Certainly he went to heaven. The Apostle James went to heaven. There's all kinds of people who died, and God received them when they died, but it was not God's will for them to die. And please... I don't want anybody to think I'm angry at Audrey or anything like this. I get very angered by this false doctrine that has been spread through the church that makes our God look like a mean, hard, wicked dictator. No, it's mean, wicked dictators that kill anybody they want to kill whenever they want to kill them. That ain't God. God is the giver of life. God, listen to this statement. God is screaming life into every person that's dying right now. And God's trying to get you or me to their side to see them get life. Romans chapter 1. Woo! No, God didn't need your son in heaven. God needed his mother to have her son on earth with her to live a long life. It's a lie. It's a lie that's been sold by the preachers to make people feel better. And then think that God reaches down the earth and takes your loved one away. Why would you trust a God who did that? I would never trust a God who did that, ever. And to try to force yourself to trust him is one of the biggest confusions of the whole world. Well, I just cut you. You can just take out whoever you want. If you only knew how much biker's trying to come out of me right now. Romans chapter 1. Look at this. Verse 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. But look at this next verse. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Now listen, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Wrath is revealed, is reserved for the wicked. Say it with me. Wrath is reserved for the wicked. All right? Romans chapter 2, verse 8. But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey righteousness, they receive indignation and wrath. Romans 2, 8. Romans 3, 5. You asked the question, so now I got to lay it out because this is not about Sam Cottle's doctrine for the wicked. Romans 3, verse 4. Certainly not, indeed, let God be true, every man a liar, you may be justified in your words, and you may overcome when you are judged. Just listen. If our righteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath? Get this picture. You're born again, made a new creation, received the righteousness of God that Jesus paid 33 and a half years to get. And now God, by choice, just takes you out. You who are filled with the righteousness of Jesus. See, that's why this is such a lying demon tells a story. And preachers say it to make people feel better at funerals. And it doesn't, what it does is it turns people against God because you can't trust him. You never know when he's going to strike again. He took out my son. What if he takes me out this time? Maybe he'll take out my husband. What if he takes out my infant? How do I trust this God? Oh, wait, I have to love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you. No, see, it's that doctrine is driven by men who beat women and say, you got to love me. That's not God. I'm doing a really good job of laying this out here by the Holy Spirit. No. Verse 6, certainly not. For then, oh God, judge the world. For if the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? And why not say, let us do evil that good may come? See, Paul's laying it out here saying, wait. God is just. The foundation of his throne is just. Let me see if I can find one more. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Yeah, the Bible never had, there's not one contradiction in the Bible. That's a liar. And I'm going to tell you something. The man that wrote the book about all the contradictions in the Bible made millions of dollars out of a perverse lie. Can you imagine the God of heaven who created all of the universe creating a book with controversy in it and contradictions and say, when you know the truth, at least you'll be confused? Everybody, wait, everybody just do something with me. Let's sing something. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Sing with me, love. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Are we back at peace? I don't want anybody thinking I'm angry at you. Please don't think I'm angry at you for asking these questions. These questions that are being asked tonight are questions that are the most destructive questions, and they're taught from the pulpit of America every single day. Because it takes faith to overcome fear. And many will not pay the price of faith to get it. When they teach this doctrine, people get angry with them because it's not telling them that they have to be persecuted and suffer. Felicia, I'm glad you made that statement. And I honestly was not coming back at you when I came back. Now I come back strong on that. That man that wrote that book made millions of dollars mocking this book. And do you know who bought the book? The body of Christ.
Yeah.
The body of Christ made the man a multimillionaire for writing a book that says contradictions. Well, but Pastor, he ends up in the end saying there's no contradiction. Did you hear that? He made millions with the book that went public. Yeah, there's a book written on it. Went all over the whole world. The man's a multi-millionaire.
But he did admit at the end that there were no contradictions.
Oh, well, no, I don't know. I didn't read the book.
Oh,
I said even if he did at the end, his book title sitting on the shelf violates the faith of many believers. It's a sad day, isn't it? Romans chapter 5, verse number... let's see. Verse 8. God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He's still going to kill a bunch of us because you never know God. It does not say that. How much more then, having been justified by his blood, what this says, we shall be saved from wrath through him.
Amen.
Me and all my folks who walk with God are saved from wrath.
Amen.
Amen. Proverbs chapter 6. Bible says a whole bunch about this, but the preachers don't preach, and I don't get it why they don't. That's 5, 8, and 9, Wilma. Thank you. Thanks for keeping up with this tonight. We can unpack that verse if you want, Wilma.
Oh, I forgot. It was still there.
Proverbs chapter 6. Let's look at verse 12 through 19. Hey, evening, Al Barton, and all you beautiful Alan Barton.
So good to see you pop in,
Al. Roger, it is one of the most confusing things about the body of Christ. Watch this. There's a man who wrote a book, 78 Reasons Why God Is Going to Come Back in 1978. He sold 1 million copies in 1978. Do you know who bought them? The church. Check this out. He wrote a book in 79. 79 Reasons Why God Is Coming in 79. And guess what? He sold 1 million copies. 20 years later, he's still writing a book. This many reasons why God is coming back in this year. And the church buys another 1 million of his books. The man is a multimillionaire writing a book that doesn't happen right in front of their eyes. And then they go buy the book the next year. Pastor, what are you saying? Well, quit funding it. Don't be the ones that fund ignorance. Yeah, I don't understand it either. Now watch this. Everybody follow where we're at, because I got to get this out. Since you asked me about the wrath of God, I have to paint the whole picture of the wrath of God. Okay? I got to stick with it. Because if I just tell you what Sam Cottle thinks, you don't have no foundation for the truth. I have to show it to you in the Bible. And now people are going to be watching this. I got to have you see the truth. And I'm laying it out verse by verse so that you can see the truth of God's word and realize, wait, this isn't just a doctrine. This isn't just something that Sam believes. Our pastor is leading us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen.
Word by stupidism.
Amen. Ready? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. If it cusses, it has a perverse mouth. If it's you, well, get your perverse mouth fixed by the righteous God. Everybody listen. Look at what he does. This is what the wicked man does. He winks with his eyes, points with his fingers, shuffles his feet. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. You ever met somebody that just continually are into bad, wicked, take advantage of people things?
Yes.
God calls them a worthless, wicked person until they find him. Ready? Therefore, look at verse 15. Calamity shall suddenly come. Suddenly, he will be broken without remedy. Why? Because the wrath of God is revealed for the son of disobedience. Look at verse number 16. These six things does the Lord hate. I have a word for it. He still hates them. Even all these years later, after Solomon wrote this chapter. Seven are an abomination to him. Verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Every abortionist, God calls them an abomination. Sam don't. I'm reading it to you right out of this book. Hands that shed innocent blood, God calls them an abomination. 18, a heart that devises wicked plans. Somebody that's always laying a trap trying to trick somebody is a person with a heart that is devising wicked plans to cause people to fall. God said to the Apostle Paul, do not be, create a stumbling block for your brother. Do not do that. See, God calls that person an abomination.
Yeah.
Even if they belong to a church, they are doing it for spiritual purposes only. No. You're laying a trap for your brother. That's the wicked that does that. That is not God. I'm preaching bad and people are staring, but it's all right if you stare. Now watch. Feet that are swift and running to evil. Well, Pastor, what's evil? The New Testament is full of it. Galatians chapter 5 says, these are the works of the flesh. Wow. Okay. Hold your spot. You might as well go there. I guess that's where we are tonight. I keep trying to go somewhere else, but I guess I might as well just stay right where I am and just let her go. Come on, yeah. Jesus. Here we go.
These are good questions. But
these are excellent questions, and they got to have understanding. But if what you hear is a lying spirit of the devil, you will not get the truth. All right? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and we'll go to 26. Everybody say it. Let the word of God do the talking.
Yeah,
they were. These questions were asked for a reason. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Yeah, what did Phyllis say? The scripture clearly points out that God rescues his children from the evil plans of the devil. There you go. There are some things worse than death. That's true. That's really true. Rebecca Smith is with us. All right, here we go with verse 16. Walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now watch this. For the flesh lusts against the spirit. Notice that spirit is capitalized. That's the Holy Spirit. And the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So if you're struggling with the flesh, you gotta say, Pastor, I'm struggling with the flesh. Help me get this thing beat. Do it correctly. I'm going to take you back to the foundation verses of the Bible, of the New Testament. And we're going to get you established in the righteousness of God. Nobody can beat these things of the flesh in their own strength. Nobody. Ready? Nobody since Jesus died has been able to win the sins of the flesh in their own strength. You got to do it in the power of his righteousness. Now let's look at the lust of the flesh. Verse 18. If you are led by the Spirit, not under the flesh. For the works of the flesh are evident. What are they? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. What is an idol? Anything you set up in your life to receive strength from that's not Jesus. People idolize their kids. People idolize their spouse. People idolize their yard or their car. Well, you know, it's not too often here that we've seen somebody and say hi to themselves, but it's not wrong. Wait, everybody just say hi to yourself. It's okay, no big deal. Look at the works of the flesh. Sorcery, that's all witchcraft. Hatred is a work of the flesh. Contentions is a work of the flesh. Jealousy is a work of the flesh. Outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelry, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven.
He's going to throw something at you.
Wilma picks up her keyboard and throws it across. Who's clicking the stinking pen?
Who is it, Wilma? I was thinking it was the back of it.
And by watch. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, why did you read that, Pastor? Because what we're reading over here in Proverbs chapter 6, God calls it an abomination. And there's a whole bunch of people in the church that are saying, it's no big deal if you have this stuff in your life. Yes, it is a big deal if you have that in your life. You do not get to see God if you have that in your life. Yeah, but I'm a Christian. It doesn't matter if it's in my life. Yeah, it does matter. Not trying to be difficult. You're not being difficult at all. Felicia, you haven't said a thing out of order, I don't think. Nobody here has said anything out of order.
Uh-uh.
See, you know what's awesome about tonight? Everybody listen. The terminology back on the word idol. Watch. An idol is something you set up that you give more of your glory to than God, and you receive strength from it, not God. Let me go back to what I said. People idolize their yard. They spend hours in the yard and no time with God. Are you listening to me, please?
Important thing.
Yeah. You said a few weird things. Not you, Rebecca. I can't believe it. But wait. See what? People give all their time and effort into making their car the most beautiful thing they have, and they live in it, and they just go sit in it, and it becomes all their strength. They spend no time with God. What does that thing have the tendency to become, but an idol of itself? Nothing wrong with having dogs, a yard, flowers. If you want to have a beautiful yard, go out in the yard and invite God to be in the yard with you.
Yeah,
so your grass will grow and the weeds will die. Amen. And the flowers will be beautiful. See, the point of the statement is on the inside of us, that we allow things to be created that don't match the word of God. And God said, all of these people are an abomination. Look at 19. Proverbs 6:19. I remember when I first came back as an adult and got overwhelmed. Yeah, don't be overwhelmed. And that's the power of what we do here.
Yeah.
That's the power of what we do here. I want to take, let me say it differently. The Father wants me to take the overwhelm out of this situation. He wants me to help you get a solid foundation. But let me tell you something. You got to get these verses in you, and you got to get the doctrine down in you. Why? Because when those thoughts come back again, you got to confront them so you don't let that garbage get down inside of your life. All right? I'll show you that in a minute. Watch this. God put Adam and Eve in the garden to tend it. He put you here to tend it. You're the one that get to pull them weeds out.
Amen,
fellas. Yes. The point of my statement, pastor is preaching, you can't have a nice book yard. Oh, no. No, I'm preaching. I want you to have a nice looking yard and flowers, too, would you? I'm saying don't make that your yard, your idol. When you go out in the yard and God's beauty, welcome him in.
Yes.
This morning, I like to get up in the morning and go walking out here. And I walk up this hill, and I have this big mound of rocks that I like to sit on. And I get to see this whole hill over here, mountain, whatever you call it. And the sun come up over. It's just, I got about 35 pictures this morning, just beautiful sunrise. Because there's no trees in the way. And you literally get to see the horizon for about 20 miles. It is absolutely beautiful. Watch this. I was sitting out there this morning taking pictures. And the Father said this to me. How many of the people who are some of the most perfect photographers in the world with the beauty of this earth are anti-God? Why? Because they went out into beauty and they worshiped the earth, not God. And they worshiped this beauty, not the one who created it.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's what Romans chapter 1 says, that people will eventually worship the creature and not the creator. They made idols that looked like humans and animals and birds. And he says in Romans 1, they worship the creature, not the creator. Look at verse 19. These are people that are abomination to God. A false witness speaks lies. Look at this last one. And one who sows discord among the brothers. That's here in this group. Got quiet on that one, didn't it? he does. I wish you could see this storm rolling through. I'd like to have a whole mess of pictures of a beautiful storm. See, guys, what we got to realize is verse 19, God is talking about it being right here in the house of God. He who sows discord amongst the brethren, God calls them an abomination. Well, but pastor, you don't know what they did. Don't sow discord. Because if you sow discord with all the greatest prayers I pray, God still calls it abomination. Jesus said, how many times do you forgive your brother in one day? 70 times 7. Now, that's almost impossible to do, to sin against your brother and come back and repent 490 times in one day. That's almost impossible to do. What was he telling you? It doesn't matter. Forgive. Right? Say it. It doesn't matter. Forgive.
You may have to move.
But you may not. But you better, after about number five, say, I better not have that guy around me anymore. Because they continually are doing the same thing. That's why we have domestic violence situations. Because somebody somewhere taught somebody they must submit under somebody that they're married to that is domestically violent against them. Anybody want to say it? Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Somebody help us get to a positive verse.
Good evening, Chris.
Romans chapter 5. Chris, you got here just in time for the meet, my brother. Romans chapter 5. Let's go. Yeah, that's true. Felicia, that's very true. And how many people say I'm sorry and they don't mean nothing? That's why those words really don't mean a whole lot to me when people say I'm sorry. You know why? Because when you say, please forgive me, I was wrong, you have now owned up to what you just did was wrong. And now it helps you say, whoops, I better change me. Right?
Yep.
Say it with me. John 3:16 is one of the most powerful positive scriptures.
Yeah, it is.
There's a whole lot of people say, I'm sorry. You do say, I'm sorry. But they don't mean it. Most of them mean, I'm sorry I got caught.
Yeah, that is.
Right? But watch, please forgive me, I was wrong, causes you to own up to what you just did. And now you can trust that that person is seeing they did you wrong. It's one of the things I taught my children as they grew up. You ain't going to say I'm sorry. Sorry is as sorry does, but no, you are literally going to look at each other and say, please forgive me, I was wrong. Why? Because now you just owned up to the fact I did something wrong that I better not do wrong again. Watch this. A sin needs a forgiveness. A misunderstanding needs an explanation. Somebody type these in. Somebody type it in. A sin needs a forgiveness. A misunderstanding needs an explanation. Right? An error needs a correction. What ends up happening is we end up putting the wrong words on the wrong situation. And then that's what you get when you put the wrong words on the wrong situation. You get the wrong result. It's not what you want. It's not what you're looking for, but it's what you get because you're not labeling the situation right. Wow, have we gone somewhere tonight?
Yeah.
I want to end in Romans 5, verses 12 through 21. I'm going to just read them. That's why people live in domestic violence. Is they somebody beats you down and you feel like you're bound, you can't get away from them. But wait, don't accuse somebody of beating you down if they're not. If they are, then deal with it. Bring it to a head and say, no, this has to stop now. No more violence. Why? Because every time violence happens to a spouse, whether male or female, it violates that person's being and it creases their soul. If the children are watching, it violates those children.
Yeah.
And it wounds them with a wound that will be carried with them for years until they learn how to get rid of it. Or you as an adult say, wait, I got to get rid of that in my kid's life. I bind every traumatic situation they ever saw me in, and I declare it'll have no effect on my children another day of their life. This message tonight and these verses tonight are very, very specifically on purpose for people to get an understanding, the one that's killing people. And anybody that's living in domestic violence, you got to get out of that. Yeah, it's very true. That's very true. I'm not a person that says, just divorce and run. I'm not that person. I am the person that says, hold on, Charlie. Huh? Let's see. Hold on, Charlie, or Chica, either one of you. The domestic violence with your lips. Yeah. Well, I encourage you, please don't put your life on here where people see it. All right? Because nobody here needs to know what's going on in your life. Whew, Jesus help me. Romans 5, 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. I want you to see this principle. As through one man sin entered the world. Now watch. And death through sin. What causes death on this earth? Sin. But Pastor, my loved one wasn't a sinner. I know. But that sin on this earth caused death to come into this earth. And if we can't get life inside the person's body where the death is trying to destroy them, then death is going in.
Good
preaching. It's like I heard a man say the other day, if we can't get that life into the place in a person's life that's trying to kill them, then they can't die. Pastor, I don't want to hear you say that. You pray for people to live every day. I know. And there's nothing more frustrating than when we prayed for them to live and they don't live. Now watch. Let's get back to the verses. Everybody look at your Bible with me, please. Romans 5, 12. Just as through one man, sin entered the world. And death came through sin. There was no death in this world until sin entered. And thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. As soon as you're born, you start dying. Because sin is spread to the whole world. You're born with a sinful nature. Till you're born again and life comes in you, that sinful nature is trying to kill you. That's where all the childhood diseases come from. Not God. God's up and saying, heaven's saying, well, let's see, I think I could kill a million this year with, you know, the measles. Let's kill a million with the measles. Gabriel, don't kill a million with the measles. No. No. See, that's not God. It's heaven on this earth. That's sin. Keep reading. For until the law, sin was in the world. Sin is not imputed when there is no law. 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Noah was in this earth, but he was a righteous man. His wife and children listened to him. They got to be inside the earth. The rest of the whole world did not listen, and they died. Sin produces death. Pastor, my loved one wasn't a sinner. Why did they die? Because death reigns in this earth until life forces it out. That's why Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. The beginning of that verse is the thief comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Who is the thief? Satan, sin, death. Death is Donnie Jr. We prayed and prayed and prayed for Donnie Jr. What were we facing? We were driving back the forces of darkness so that he could live. We won. He's alive today. Keep reading. 15. The free gift is not like the offense. For by one man's offense, many died. Much more, the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. You could say abounded life. Jesus came that we might have life and have life more abundantly. That verse does not say Jesus came that we might have life except for the few that God takes out every year. No, that is not God. You can't violate the nature of God. Nobody anywhere in history can make God change who he is. He is the God that changes not. And the foundation of his throne is justice and mercy and righteousness. Keep going. 16. The gift is not like that which came from the one that sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from the many offenses resulted in justification. Adam sinned, it affected everybody. Jesus came and was righteous. And everybody who receives Jesus' righteousness now gets to have righteousness. You literally go from death to life in one prayer. That's why it's in the communion prayer. 17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned. Death thinks it's raining on this earth. 2 Corinthians 2:6-7. You and I are the restraining force of death. It cannot control the world as long as we are here. Just a reference, I'm not going there. How much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. You accept the free gift of righteousness. When you do, you get to reign in life with Jesus because he's the head and we're the body. Well, this is coming full circle, isn't it? Woo, this has been some plowing. I've been burning some diesel fuel on this field. Woo! We've upended the rocks and the dirt and it's flying out. iron dust, and the birds are flying in, and the worms are going, oh, sunshine. Verse 17 again. For if by one man's offense death reigned, Adam's sin, death reigned. The earth belonged to Adam in Genesis chapter 1. When Adam sinned and submitted himself to Lucifer, Satan, Satan now got control of the earth. Jesus came and put a sacrifice on the earth, a lamb, and clothed Adam and Eve. When he did, that blood sacrifice breaks the power of Satan. Adam and Eve's son, Enoch, walked with God, and he didn't die. He walked right out of here. He was so close to God. So it's possible to be close to him. But you got to focus on the righteousness, not on the sin. Yeah. Keep reading. Who knows where we are? 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in domination. Even so, through one man's righteousness, righteous act, the free gift comes to all men, resulting in justification, just as if you never sinned. Don't you just love it? I love it. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. That sin reigned in death. No, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, even though on this earth, sin thinks it's reigning, in many people's life it has no power over righteousness as soon as you receive it. As soon as you receive righteousness from Jesus, sin loses all of its power. And let's see. Let's find that verse. Somebody find that verse. Sin will not have dominion over you. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Say that with me. Sin will not have dominion over me.
Sin will not have dominion over me.
Wow. Julian and Bamala. Amen.
No.
Amen, 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 amen. Sin will not have dominion over me. Let's go back here. Let's see. Let's read verse 6. And verse 12 and through 14. 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Don't put your members into sin. But present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Make every part of your life an instrument of righteousness. Mm-hmm. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Wow. Have we gone a long way around the bar tonight? Well, sadly enough, Felicia, there are people who say don't read the Old Testament. I got to give you one more verse. 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. They will depart from the faith. There will be some in the faith, and they will depart from the faith. Why do people do that? I don't know. I don't know.
Because they want to do what they want to do.
Do not depart from the faith. That's why I say to you guys over and over, if you're having a hard time understanding what I'm teaching, send it to me in an email. Because if you are, somebody else is. I'll answer your question, and then I'll help other people get their questions answered. All right? Some will depart from themselves, from the faith. Look at what it says. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. If a man in the pulpit says, don't read the Old Testament, it's not necessary, why did God put it in the Bible?
Amen.
But see, that goes back to the doctrine that says they don't know the characteristics of God. They just know the characteristics of religion. Every bit of this book is important because it shows you who God is. There's prophecies in Genesis that will be fulfilled in Revelation. You can't say that any part of this book isn't important. They say it because they don't want to study it. They say it because they just want freedom to do whatever they want to do. There's literally people that will tell you, don't read the Old Testament. Don't read the teachings of Jesus. Just read the teachings of Paul. There's a whole group of people out there who are teaching that doctrine right now. Don't listen to the Old Testament, Jesus. Just listen to Paul. Well, where did Paul get it? From the Holy Spirit of God. When you throw out the book of John, you throw out the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And you see, you just can't do that. Wait, these people preaching this stuff have tens of thousands of people that go to their church? Why? Because they don't get the balance of the scripture. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Watch this. Chapter 10, 1 through 10. I just got to read it, God. I got to let the Bible do the talking, not Sam. Everybody watch. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, speaking of the children of Israel. Verse 2, all were baptized into Moses, in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. That means what was going on in the Old Testament is an example of what's going to happen in the New Testament. The Old Testament is God showing the damaging effect of sin. Sin produces death, the Old Testament. Sin produces death, but righteousness produces life. Watch. Verse 5. With most of them, God was not pleased, Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Who were they? The people that said we're not going in. Six, these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. What did they want? Verse 7, do not become idolaters as were some of them. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play when they built the golden calf. They built an idol. Look at verse 8. Do not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. In one day, 23,000 fell. Verse 9. Don't let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Don't complain as some of them complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Look at verse 11. All these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the end of the age will come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands be careful so he doesn't fall. And remember this, no temptation has taken you, but what is his common demand. And God is who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation also provide a way to escape. What is that way? Jesus' righteousness. Man, this is a night.
Yeah, it is.
This is good word. The Old Testament is the example of the effect of sin and the uselessness of man after trying to get rid of it. The New Testament is Jesus came, lived in front of us, a man empowered by the Holy Spirit, overcome every sin there was, did not sin, as a man empowered by the Spirit, and showed us that you and I can live on this earth as a man powered by the Spirit, and we will not sin. Let me circle the wagons. Somebody yell, circle the wagons.
Circle the wagons.
Somebody shoot their rifle in the air three times. Pow, pow, pow. Remember, the foundation of God's throne, the very character of God, is justice and righteousness and mercy. That's that. He does not change that for anybody. Religion always wants you to go away from this book and believe somebody's spiritual understanding that has no foundation in the book. That is why God places you in a body that is growing and developing and strong and led by a fivefold ministry leader. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. The pastor, the prophet, the apostle, evangelist, and the teacher. Ephesians 4, 11. Mary asked the question in the beginning. What is the fivefold ministry? It's the leadership of the body. Jesus is the head. We are the body.
Amen.
There's a whole bunch of people looking for a fire, campfire, aren't they? Circle the wagons. It's the more time. I don't know that they had marshmallows, and I don't know that they had Hershey's chocolate yet and the wagon train. Maybe they did. Maybe their chocolate then had more power than what ours does. Now, let me break this night down. Wrath is reserved for his enemies.
Amen.
Righteousness is reserved for his kids. You can't earn it. You only get it. It's a scary thing, Felicia.
Yeah, it is.
It's a scary thing. They have TV broadcasts. They have Facebook Lives. They have YouTubes. They have other tubes. They got all kinds of tubes. And they don't have no place being on the internet. But that's the thing why Jesus said, in the last day, The number one problem in the last day is going to be deception. Going to be deception. And the number one thing you got to believe so you not be deceived. Look at Phyllis K. Raymond. Phyllis K. Raymond just hit a grand slam home run with Hebrews 10:25. Everybody cheer. Phyllis just hit a grand slam. Whoops, I woke some kids up. Sorry, guys. Look at Hebrews 10:25. Great verse, Phyllis. 24 and 25. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Now look at 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another and gathering together, so much the more as you see the day approaching. In these last days, the more we're together, the less confusion you'll have in your Christian life.
Amen.
Can I get an amen from anybody?
Amen.
Now, I circled the wagons, and Phyllis gave the last verse. Thank you, Phyllis. Appreciate it. I'm not always going to let you have the last verse. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that your word is not difficult and there's no inconsistencies in it. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the living word. You are the word of God made flesh that dwelt among us. You manifested this whole book in your lifetime. You did. Because in heaven, you're the word. Now, thank you, Lord, that this word is alive and well on the inside of us. Thank you that the word is a shining light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Thank you that great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love the word of God, and nothing shall offend them. Oh, I thank you for it, Jesus. Thank you that you said, blessed is the man who meditates in the law and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf will not wither, and everything he does will prosper.
Amen.
I thank you for it. I give you the glory and the honor and the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. And one more prayer. I'm praying Joshua chapter 1, and I want to get it and say it exactly as it's written. This book of the law will not depart out of our mouth. We will meditate in it day and night. Then we will make our way prosperous, and then we will have good success. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, and amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. Phyllis says, do you have the numbers, Phyllis? That would be a very interesting number to find out.
Yeah.
Because it's all the way through his life. And That's only what we don't see. Joshua 1:8-9 is what I just read. Oh, yeah. And Jesus gave her patience with her fur babies. Please give her patience in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? It's time for communion, the new covenant worship. We're going to put all of this to effect right now. And we're going to set our life free. Oh, my goodness. We actually use that many different verses. I guess we were in the Word tonight, weren't we?
Yeah, we were. These guys are just going.
Wow. Wow. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he blessed it. He broke it, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes." Every bit of it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 28, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." Verse 17, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment." I love it. Say this, "I have boldness."
I have boldness.
Because as he is, so are we. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with fear. We love him because he first loved us. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you that you said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled with righteousness." Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now, Jesus willingly came. Before the foundation of the earth, he said, "I'll pay the price. I surrender my life. I will go as God and become man and live as a man, empowered by the Holy Spirit to show man that he can live empowered by the Holy Spirit and overcome." And guess what? He did all the work and gave it to you and I as a gift. Now all we got to do is just walk with him. And that gift will empower us in every way we need it. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you've never been born again, this is the time to pray the prayer. Maybe you've been away from God and are coming back. This is a time, a prayer of rededication. Maybe you've been back, you're in God, and you're charging like we are, saying, "Woo, hallelujah, I get to receive these communion elements again because Jesus said, do it often, and I'm with the body of Christ right now." In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Pray this with me, the prayer of salvation, rededication, or just straight up hallelujah. Father, I know I need you in my life.
Father, I know I need you in my life.
In every area.
In every area.
According to the book of John.
According to the book of John.
I know Jesus is the door to salvation.
I know Jesus is the door to salvation.
Jesus, I enter in.
Jesus, I enter in.
Through you.
Through you.
I believe in you, Jesus.
I believe in you, Jesus.
And I receive you.
And I receive you.
In my life right now.
In my life right now.
And that makes me a child of God.
And that makes me a child of God.
Do this. Take your sin and just dump it out. Say, there's all my sin.
There's all my sin.
I encourage you to do just like I'm doing. Just dump it out. Say, there's all my sin.
There's all my sin.
I cannot beat it in my flesh.
I cannot beat it in my flesh.
I receive all of your righteousness.
I receive all of your righteousness.
Filling my life.
Filling my life.
And driving out every sin.
And driving out every sin.
And I thank you.
And I thank you for it.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of
pray
God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly and language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. Here we are. It's us. Aren't we some handsome critters? Look at all the people's, we call them icon things they got. Aren't they some handsome critters on there? Glad to have you here with us. Don't you love it when you say with your righteousness and it just fills you?
Yeah.
I love it. I love it to this day when I say it. I've been a believer since I was 12, 48 years, 46 years. Every time I say it, I feel the righteousness of God washing through me. Watch it. In that one prayer, you went from darkness to light. You should experience it. You may not be like, well, is it a feeling? I feel. No, it's not a feeling. It's an experience. It is. Hold it. Something changed. You went from your sin to Jesus' righteousness. Nobody ever in history reached salvation in their own ability. It is impossible for anyone to beat their own sin. You got to have Jesus' righteousness. And it's just a free gift that you receive. How beautiful is that? See what happens when you do that? Nobody gets to be self-righteous.
Amen.
Nobody gets to brag. Nobody gets a big head. I'm more righteous than you are. Oh, no, you ain't. Because it's all Jesus' righteousness that enters the door. This is salvation. And that one prayer, he adopted you into the family of God. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it beautiful? You ready? They put my email address and website in there. So that you got free, you can contact. Verses that I want to help you walk with God. I got about 8 different videos that would really help you establish yourself in the foundation of the faith. I want it to be a blessing to you. Send me an email, I'll send you one. Send me another, I'll send you one. Ready? If you've sent me an email that did not get a reply, please send it again and make sure I have caught you understand your communication, your email, because there is an interesting factor in this day, and it's called technology that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Pastor, I thought you was the mighty man of God in faith and power. I am. I guarantee I am. I live in it all day long, and stuff still don't get through right. So I declare all of our technology works every time we come. Send me an email. I'll be glad to get back with you. Got stuck in the email right during communion. Please fill up your items. Let's receive our communion together. Pastor, we had such a beautiful prayer, and then you started talking about that. I know. Ready? Watch, right?
You just got that preach on.
Ready? Say this. Say, get out of our life. Here we go. Pray this with me. I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement.
The chastisement.
For my peace.
For my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing. Nothing broken.
Nothing missing. Nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
From my body.
From my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
Jesus, mighty name.
In Jesus, mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive the broken body of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And now, we lift up the cup of blessing. The blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague.
Every plague.
Had a Passover.
Has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
My testimony.
I overcome by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren.
The accuser of the brethren.
Is cast down in my life.
Is cast down.
And
in my
there
life.
Is no more condemnation.
And there is no condemnation.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. that's received the blood of Jesus. Let's sing our song about blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes white as snow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these wonderful people. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God. Thank you that your word, the word of God, is rich in our life. And you're able to draw from that word. Thank you. Thank you for leading us in the path tonight. Father, I pray that every person receive great wisdom and understanding and insight. I pray that every person who will listen to this in the future will receive the life of it. And may every single one of us be adamant that the character of our God, the nature of our God, the attributes of our God are unchangeable. They're unchangeable. We give you glory. And we give you the honor. And we give you the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. He's got the s'mores tonight.
Ooh, that sounds really good.
I'm technically hungry and need to eat the message. Amen. Amen, Al. Jesus is my righteousness. Thank you, Father, for all of these wonderful questions. Mm-hmm. Thank you for such an amazing night tonight. Love you, Felicia. God bless you. God bless your family. God bless your move. God bless James out there. May he have the best jobs there are. Yeah. Blueberry Virgil, sweet tea.
Very beautiful. Oh,
bagels. Bagels with sweet tea. Wow. I like that.
Dipped in chocolate, that will be perfect.
Julian and Mamala, love you.
Yes.
Mary Fernandez, we love you. All of you from around the world, we love you. Thanks for being a part of our life. If there's any way we can help you, please email us, please.
Or messages.
And then make sure we get it, because goodness sakes alive, this is an interesting day. Blueberry Bugles. Well, you know, I've had them, those crunchy little bugles. I never had one that was blueberry. But I can't say they'd be bad. All right. Well, till we see you again. And we'll see you again here or in the air. If the rapture happens tonight, I'm the guy that's going to be doing barrel rolls all the way across the sky. I'm a biker, so I'm going to take the long route to heaven. Run out through all the planets, cruising the Milky Way, eating a Snickers while I'm in the Milky Way. Amen. Thank you, Al. Love you, brother. Thank you, Phyllis. I love you. Thank you. Thank you. I love all you guys. We love you guys. If you only knew how much strength we get from you guys. How much strength we get from you guys. blessedly. May everybody sleep peaceful tonight, Jesus. I declare the sleep of these righteous people are blessed.
Amen.
We declare, Lord, that we are your sheep, and we hear your voice, and the voice of a stranger we will not follow. It'll be raspy. It'll be weird. It'll be strange, and we won't follow it, because we're walking with you, the voice of the Good Shepherd.
Amen.
Every day, in the mighty name of Jesus. May the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow, rich, abundantly blessed in every area of your life. Your mind, your will, your emotion, your spirit, your soul, your body, in your marriage, in your money, and in your ministry. May you be blessed in every area. Till we see you again. This is what we say.
We love you.
And
God
loves
you.
And Jesus is Lord. See you tomorrow.